Matthew chapter 21. This is lesson 65 in the dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And we left off at verse 22 last week, Matthew 21 through 22. And we're going to read verse 23 down to 27. 23 through 27. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And we said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Father, we give you great thanks and glory for your word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the first chapter, I know we read some things. It's probably already hit in your mind in a way like, wait a minute, these guys are fakes. But the first part of chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ enters Jerusalem. And this is just a matter of days before he gets crucified. And he goes into the temple, as we know, and he cleanses the temple and throws out the money changers. Remember that? First part of that. And he heals the blind and the lame, and then he leaves the city. And the next day he curses the fig tree, which is a representation of the judgment of God on the nation Israel. It is a symbolic type, by the way. And then in Matthew 22, 23, the following verses, he focuses on the details of the judgment of God on the various classes that makes up the nation Israel. And when we get through that, you're going to see there's certain tiers of people that makes up that nation, and God's placing judgment on every one of them. We know that when he touched that fig tree, it was a symbol to say, hey, I'm done with you, Israel. I'm done with you. And a lot of people don't understand that, but he was. And then in Matthew 21, 23, he talks to the chief priests and elders, and they discussions continues on down through chapter 22 through verse 14. So there's a long discussion who Jesus Christ is. And it's happening rapidly, by the way. It's not days, oh, we're going to go spend 7 days in a jury hall. No, they're discussing some things, and it's happening down through. And in the passage, he gives three parables to relate to them. In Matthew 22, 15, he deals with the Pharisees. And in verse 16 of that book, he deals with the Herodians. And then verse 23, he deals with the Sadducees. In verse 35, he deals with the lawyers. So you see that there's a structure there that he's dealing with every one of them. Because why? Who represented the nation Israel? Those guys was the leaders. Okay? And that's who he goes after, because they should know better. So he's breaking down the leadership of the nation in various classes, and they are just standing around him. You know, they're ready to just, you know, jump on him. And he addresses each one and talks to them about the judgment of God upon them and their attitude towards him that calls forth that judgment. So when we got to verse 23, what did we read? We read that, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority dost thou teach these things? And who gave this? You know, they're not asking them politely. You know that? Mm-hmm. They're saying, who's doing this? And they again ignore who the Lord is. And all that Isaiah the prophet has said that God was going to be, they should know, shouldn't they? and what he would come to do. Isaiah 35 deals with him healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, causing the lame to leap, etc. There's no mistake in God's word who the Lord Jesus was at that point in time. Some people believed it, didn't they? But the leaders of the nation did. And you got to remember that these guys are mad at him because why? He went in that temple and throwed out the crooks. See? And that made him mad. So when you get to verse 24 through 27, as we read, the Lord asked them about who John the Baptist was sent by. That's a good question. Hey, I'll answer your question if you can answer who John the Baptist was. You notice how Jesus does that? You notice how sometimes we do that? You answer a question with a question. I'm bad about that sometimes. But I just want to know where you're at so I know where you're at. In other words, you know what I mean? I want to know how to approach the question by your question. They did not answer him, did they? Because they had skirted around the issues all this time. And this is a representative of the religious type people. That's who they... You think about what I just said for a minute. Of how they approach the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very type of the religious world out there, and they do the same thing. They skirt around the issues. You don't have the Word of God. The King James Bible ain't authorized. He was a pagan king. That type of thing, you know, and you're like, what? You know, so there's issues after issues. Jesus was just a man. He wasn't God. There's no heaven. There's no, you know, they're just skirt around the issues all together. The problem with Israel is that they choose not to believe. They totally ignore. They knew. And they became what? Agnostics, if I pronounced that right. And they're believing. And they willfully choose not to believe. There's willfully ignorance, aren't they?
They believed
according to they believed. And as long as you are uncommitted, see, they didn't want to believe it. They knew it, but they didn't believe it here. Some of you know this message to be true, but guess what? Some of it, no, I don't say some of you, but I'm just saying you got head knowledge, but it's not down here in the heart. And you're still doubting some things, just like they did. They're uncommitted. Religion will allow you to receive the praises of man and keep your standing. See, that's why people get puffed up and they don't want to believe this message of grace. Now, they'll believe this message of law and all. So, hold your finger there. And what is John chapter 12? Here's what religion wants you to do. John chapter 12, verse 22. Excuse me, verse 42. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. So did some believe on him? That's what it says. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of what? The synagogues. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now you tell me, if you can't look out there in this world system today, this religious system, and say that ain't true today, there's something wrong. Because they ain't going to preach truth, because why? They're feared they're going to be put out on the streets. Now they'll preach to itching ears and tell you what you want to do and keep that man over there happy and keep that woman over there happy and keep that family. Oh, we can't lose that family. That's what the Lord said. They know. And time again, we've met with religious leaders and around the world and around local places, and they agree, but they're not going to believe it. We agree to disagree. You know, so religious wants to take that authority away from God's word. That's what it does. And guess what it does? It lifts that man up that is holier than thou, that learns how to hold his hands and speak, and he knows more than I know, that type of thing. and you don't, I can't go approach him. He's got 4 degrees. That ain't got nothing to do with what God's word is. God's word, you want to be right, don't you?
I do.
Does it hurt when people don't agree with you in this? It does, don't it? But you can take it personally, but don't. We learned that through Romans 14 today, didn't we? About the weaker brother. You want to encourage him up and all. Verses 28 through 32.
Which book?
We're in Matthew.
Matthew.
But you think about what they just said in verse... The baptism of John. Let's look at that before we move on. I went really fast through that. But look, they verse 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing. And if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by the authority I do these things. John the Baptist. Baptist of John. Whence was it? From heaven? Or from what?
Man.
Do you know that answer? Mm-hmm. You know that answer. It's come from God. He was sent from God. And as he looking at these things, they're reasoning amongst themselves. Did you read that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. People will reason amongst themselves and not believe the word of God. You get a group of men over here together. Well, that ain't true. Okay, that ain't true. That's why you have those, all those, what are the religious systems out there in the world? And they went to these conferences and these counseling, and it was determined by these men that this is to be so. So therefore, they discredit the Word of God and said, you can't eat meat or you can't get married. And all that, you know what I'm getting at? That's men's viewpoint. Believe the word of God, rightly divide it, and then make a difference. Now let's go to 28. Matthew 21:28. But what think ye? Because you know why? What's verse 27 say? And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Bunch of liars, aren't they? They knew.
Say that, yeah.
They knew, but would they choose not to believe it? And he says, and he said unto them, neither tell I you of by what authority I do these things. They should have known, people. There's no ifs and buts. That religious system, that religious leaders of Israel should have known what God is doing from the time of prophecy. Prophecy is something spoken since the world began. Mystery is something kept secret since the world began. Two contrasts there. The prophets spoke. They had the word of God all the way up through there. The people that was having the Israel, the nation, leading the nation, had the word of God. They read it night and day, didn't they? They should have known these things. Verse 28. But what think there ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went not. Now, some of us have children. Have you ever had that happen to your children? Hey, son, I want you to go up and mow the yard today. I will not. A couple hours later, he changed his mind and went and mow the yard. I had that happen. That's what, verse 30. And I didn't have to break the belt out. I didn't have to break the switch. I didn't have to break, the Nintendo set. But look, and he came, verse 30, and he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I'll go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they said unto him, the first, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe on him. There's, and what we just read, there's three parables there that set forth their condition, and that condition of the chief priests and the elders, and the dealings with their responses. And then the Lord tosses it back to them and is going to let them off with a no answer. That, you know, you didn't do it. And then the publicans and the harlots said no, but changed their mind when John the Baptist said, repent and be converted. And he said, repent that the kingdom, and be baptized, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's who went and got baptized. It wasn't the Pharisees and lawyers, and you're going to see that in a minute. But the religious leaders were already giving God lip service. You don't know anybody like that, do you? And refused to repent. They refused the word of God when it came. Was God, Lord Jesus Christ, not only the written word, wasn't he the living word? And they refused him. They lacked the one thing God required, faith. It's always been about faith. It's never been about how good I can keep the law and how righteous I am. And the baptism of John is a testing point on which Christ came and which he leans on when he's arguing with that messianic authority. Okay? But before we go any further, when he says, a certain man had two sons and came the first and go to work in the vineyard. Go to Psalms chapter 80. Remember we was talking about,
Psalm chapter what?
80, but we'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second. We'll look at that in a minute, but let me finish this thought. We're going to get Psalms chapter 80, Isaiah chapter 5, and Luke chapter 7. When John the Baptist came on the scene, it was 400 years of silence. And then John the Baptist shows up. And he's a man out there in the wilderness, ain't he? And he's preaching about a kingdom at hand. And in Luke chapter, you're still Matthew, right? Yeah. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, but being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. They done put themselves out. But they're still the leaders of Israel. And when water baptism in that day was an outward representative of a man's heart, you had to go through that system to get involved with Israel. See, John's the porter. Remember the porter of the train? Okay, he sits there. You ever had somebody open the door for you? Come on in, sir, ma'am. Come on. That's the porter. And John the Baptist was man sent from God, and he open the door in a way Israel could get inside of that kingdom program. There was no other way. And that word, that water baptism, was an identification part that once they did that, they became a part of who John the Baptist was. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. He's identifying himself with John's ministry that started back here as a nation of priests. And a priest had to be ceremonially cleansed. You're not a kingdom of priests today. So don't let nobody fool you. And if you are, you're in a Jewish commission. I know it might be rough for some people. And you had to take it up with God. Don't take it up with me, because I'm going to point you to scriptures. But you had to be part of that ceremonial cleansing. And that's what these guys was doing. So when the Lord Jesus Christ, he told them, it's a hard issue. You know, but they rejected the word of God, didn't they? If they walked by faith and believed John the Baptist, they did everything that John the Baptist told them to do. And by the way, John the Baptist was not downtown Jerusalem belling up with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He was outside of Jerusalem calling out, and people heard the truth and they came out there. But these religious leaders that we just read about, that he's talking to, they refused. They rejected the counsel of God. That's hard, isn't it?
Many of us reject the counsel of God today.
It's hard. Their hearts were filled with willfully disobedience and unbelief. This is not true in their heart. You know, they had the Word of God. They had it, seen it coming. There's people who actually watched the time period as coming. And when they heard John the Baptist, they believed that man.
Would that be part of the little flock?
They believed that man. And as a result of that, they were doing the will. As a result of that, they weren't doing the will of the Father. And they professed to do so. We know people like that today. They believe they're doing what God's will is, don't we? But they're not doing the will today. And by the way, if you think that's the way you get in this kingdom program today, then you're in error. Because God's not building a kingdom of priests today. He's building a body of saints, of believers, that's going to be taken out and put in heavenly positions forever. Verse 33 through 39. I know you're in Isaiah, and I know you're in
Psalms.
Thank you. We'll get it right here in a minute. But Matthew 21:33. Now the issue is the vineyard. Whether of them twain, verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedge. So wait a minute. We just got through reading and said, which one did right? The one said no and then repented and did it, or the one said, I'll do it and didn't do it? Which one's right?
The one who said no. You wouldn't do it and didn't do it.
Yeah, one repented. So he told him and said, okay, the publics and the harlots are going in that kingdom, but you're not.
Ooh.
That'd be hard to swallow, wouldn't it? What do you mean I'm not? Well, look, he spake another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen which went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servant to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took the servant and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent another servant more than the first, that they did unto them likewise. But the last of all, he sent unto him his son, saying, they will reverence my son. And he got, and verse 38, but when the husbandmen saw the son, they said unto themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and they cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. You know who it's talking about. But look, the vineyard is Israel. The true vine. Go to Isaiah. Get Isaiah 5 and Psalms 80. I want you to go to Psalms 80 first and Isaiah 5. Psalms 80. You know right off the bat who he's talking about. But you look in the Word of God and you're going to see some other things too that is enlightening you. For Psalms 80 verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Who brought the nation Israel out of Egypt?
God.
That's Israel, the vine, the true vine. We looked at those trees a couple weeks ago, the olive tree and the fig tree and the vine tree and the bramble tree, and the people of Israel went to those trees and said, will you reign over us? And an olive tree said, I'm not leaving the fat thereof. I'm not going to go to. Then the fig tree said, I'm not going to leave the sweetness. And the vine tree, I'm not going to do this. And the bramble says, I'll do it. Brambles, that apostate nation of Israel, represent Israel, and they ruled Israel. It wasn't God ruling Israel. It was that apostate Israel that all it did is shadowed it. There's no fruit in a bramble. You know that? But it shadows over and it controlled them. and kept them from growing. And he says, verse 9, thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take root and fill the land. They was doing it right. The hills was covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs, right? Mm-hmm. Boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the rivers. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all that which pass may by the way do pluck her? They quit doing what God told them to do. They bored out the wood doth wasted, and the beast of the wild beast of the field doth devoured it. Return, we beseech thee, which of God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thou right hand have planted and the branch thou mayest strong for themselves. Go to Isaiah. You know what he's talking about? He planted that vineyard in nation Israel and they ruined it. Mm-hmm. So they're asking God, come back down and visit us. Does he? That's what you're reading in Matthew. Isaiah, look at Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5, verse 1. The whole chapter is about the vineyard, but we're just going to read the first seven verses. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. That's that nation Israel. He planted it there. That's the true vine. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choice vine and built a tower in the midst of it and made a wine press thereof. Didn't we just read that somewhere? Mm-hmm. And he said, and look that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Mm-hmm. That's that apostate Israel, that, you know, wild grapes. You ever ate a wild grape? Yeah, it's not that great of a grape. You know, you don't want to make choice Welch's grape juice out of it. You know, it's dried up. It's not been pruned. You go over here to somebody's grape. If you got a grapevine at your house and you take good care of it, you're going to have nice, plump grapes because you cultivated, you planted, you watered, you took pride in it. You was thankful in it. Took care. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, see them? Jerusalem, Judea, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Can you add anything what God already done? Mm-hmm. Boy, they could. And I'll tell you what, when we get in ourselves, and I'm contrasting this a little bit, because when we get in ourselves, we think we can do better than what God can. And that's why it gets me when people tells you that you can trust Christ died for your sins and buried rose again. They'll give you that gospel to be saved, but they want you right back over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to live the way they lived that they couldn't live. That's a law system over there. You and I couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. You understand that? You're not going to make anything better your salvation that God doesn't already have. Where are we at? Wherewith? Verse 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, and I'll tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take it away, the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and broken down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it to waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that there rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of who? Israel, and the men of Judah is his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, behold, a cry. He put that vineyard in there, and that go back to Matthew, and he's talking about a parable here. The householder is God the Father. God the Father, who plants a vineyard in Judah. And the husbandmen are the rulers of Israel that he's talking to in verse 23. They're the one that's supposed to take care of it. You with me on this? Mm-hmm. And now they know, and they know it because of verse 25. And the servants are the prophets that he sent. And what did they do?
Kill them. Kill
them all. And the son is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And they sought to take the kingdom by force. That's what they want to do. Look at Matthew. Well, I'll read this to you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force." So when John the Baptist, from the days of John the Baptist to this, the rulers has taken God's authority and his nation by force. That's a lot to say there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it is the satanic attack working through the religious leaders there. Who's the god of this world?
Satan.
You believe that? Mm-hmm. You better believe he is. Who's the prince of power of the air?
Satan.
So he runs this world. And are you supposed to be a part of this world?
Mm-hmm.
Be not conformed. Romans chapter 12. Our conversation is not here, isn't it? You know, but we know we have to live in the nasty now. We know that. But you don't have to be a part of this. You can be a different, you know, you know what I'm talking about. But that religious system was running by Satan. And I always look, we looked at Matthew chapter 4 after the baptism, when Jesus Christ identified himself with John the Baptist and became a minister. And he went up on the mountaintop where the God of this world was. And did he not offer him the kingdoms of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Did Lord Jesus Christ dispute that?
No.
He knew. He knew that Adam gave him the deed and took over this planet, this earth. And he knew that Satan convinced one-third of the angelic beings up there in the heavenly host, the government authorities up there. And when he came out of the throne room of God, he convinced one-third of the angels to follow him. He said, "I'm the light. I'm the Christ. Follow me." And they did. And some of them has, from that day, has been parked in the abyss, if you will, in a deep chain from the very beginning. They must have been awful bad. You know what I mean? They've been down there from the beginning. And so don't think that he cannot convince you and I in our minds that this message is wrong for the day, the body of Christ. And don't think that he don't have ministers of light that's behind pulpits saying that you've got to believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or a kingdom program to be saved today.
Would you call them demons?
No, I call them ministers of light. That's what God calls them.
Okay.
Verse 40. We're going to get down through this chapter right quick, okay? Verse 40. 42. Matthew 40, 42. But there's a lot to be said there for that nation Israel. You know that? "When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto another husbandman, which shall render him the fruits in the season." He asked them a question in verse 40, and they answered, and they, you know what they did? They condemned themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? He just told them, he said, hey, what did he tell them up there? The one that said he's going to do it and didn't do it. Remember up there in verses 30? And then he talks about the vineyard. He said, surely he'll give it to somebody else. Does he not? Well, let's keep reading. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 43 through 46.
What about 42?
Oh, I didn't read 42?
No.
Sorry. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
He says that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you not read it? Do you not read it? If they have read, they would maybe understood. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, who's the stone which the builders rejected?
Jesus.
How do you know that?
Bible says so.
Bible says so, don't it? And he became not only the rejected stone, but he became the cornerstone. For all dispensations, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's the cornerstone. We talk about duplexes, right? You know what a duplex is? You do, don't you? Yeah, duplex got one foundation. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's got what?
Two doors.
Two houses in it. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone for any dispensation. Prophecy and mystery program. You got the prophecy program, you got the mystery program. And then you got the scriptures of the prophets. That's what seals the Bible. That's why Peter can lean on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and the body of Christ can do the same thing. Look at this. Verse 42, we just read that. They reject him, and we'll see something in a few minutes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Uh-oh. He's taking it from them. Just like that parable said he would. He's taking it. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this, his parable, they perceived that he spake of them.
Now they're paying attention.
But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. The Lord is in the process of replacing the builders of the nation Israel with a nation. And it's not the body of Christ like some people say it is. They say Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, they say the body of Christ started there, whatever, and it's replacing the kingdom, the one they rejected. That's era. That foolish nation, that little flock. What is Luke chapter, get Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Now, who would that little flock be? The whole nation?
No.
You know who it is. It's Peter and the 12 and those followed in the baptism of John. That's who the little flock was. And it's not Gentiles. Get Matthew 21 and John chapter 10.
So the little flock is really the apostles.
It's the followers. The apostles are the leaders.
Yeah, but
the,
okay.
Matthew 21 verse 43 says, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Who's he taking it from?
Apostate Israel.
The leaders there. And he don't give it to the body of Christ. You know, many people tells you that, don't they? You know, there's a whole college across the street here that tells you kingdom first. And they're putting people out by the dozens that don't know nothing about their Bible and talking about a kingdom. And they're building a kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. God's not building a kingdom today. And what's John 10:16 say? Other sheep have I have, which... Well, verse 15 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know my Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not in this fold, then also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and what? One shepherd. That still ain't talking about the Gentiles or the body of Christ. Now, I know people say, swear up and down that's talking about the Gentiles. But have you not read the scriptures concerning Israel and Ezekiel 37? There's two houses there. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And their northern kingdom, he didn't like too well. Well, they split. Remember the parable that we talked about? We just read a couple weeks ago about the mother brought the two sons. Which one they're going to sit on, the right hand and left hand of me? And the other 10 got mad? That's a picture of that northern kingdom, those 10 tribes, thank you, and the two tribes. The 10 tribes didn't like those two tribes. That's the other sheep. I know what the religious systems say. They want you to be they want you to be sheep. You know why? They can control you. You know, we saw pictures of Lori wasn't herding sheep. She was herding goats. Sheep are very vulnerable animals. And they'll follow them. That's why they need shepherds. That's why Jesus called, and God always referred Israel as what? Sheep. God does not call the body of Christ sheep. Period. And he, what he's doing, that's the other sheep, and he's binding the two houses of Israel together under authority of Jerusalem. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 19... Romans chapter 10, verse 19. What? But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. You know who that foolish nation is? Becomes? The little flock. Doesn't the nation Israel, those high polluting people, look at that little flock and call them unlearned? Who are these people? They're fishermen. They're tax collectors. They're shoe repairers. They're truck drivers. They're insurance salesmen. Oh no. But look, you know what I mean? Unlearned people. They're foolish. But Moses said he'll take that foolish nation and provoke the people. And General understood the reference in turning it over. The only time Gentiles are called sheep in the Bible is maybe Matthew 25, but it's still not talking about the body of Christ. And when they come up and participate and become a part of Israel. See, goats are not coming to be a part of Israel, by the way. Goats will come in and draw Israel away. Goats will come in the body of Christ and draw the body of Christ away. See, and it's no difference in the teachings. You teach doctrines that's applying for them and for us. And the men back there will not be mistaken about what the kingdom was about. They're not going to be. But Connolly ordinarily took Christ... Excuse me. The common man and the ordinary man took Christ at his word. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Are you going to take Christ at his word where he's preaching to the nation of Israel and apply it to you? Or are you going to take Christ to his word to the body of Christ through Paul the apostle and apply it to you? And Christ is a smiting stone. We find that in Daniel chapter 2 verse 45. When he talks about this right here, the kingdom is going to be prophesied. So the kingdom is prophesied way back here, and it's at hand here in his earthly ministries, and it's offered in the first part of Acts, and it's postponed today in the dispensation of grace through Romans through Philemon. That kingdom, that literal, visible, physical kingdom, is postponed. And then it's going to be established over in Hebrews through Revelation. That's the kingdom program. And he's a stumbling stone. And he's saving and sustaining. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under a cloud and all had passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Baptized into who?
Moses.
Who got wet? But when
the
Old Testament.
But who got wet?
The Egyptian army.
Jews.
Okay. Well, what I'm getting at, when they parted the Red Sea, okay, and it was all baptism in Moses, what this is they're identifying the nation Israel and all the fathers. It wasn't just the Israel that came out of Egypt, by the way. There was other strangers also. And when the Red Sea opened up, they identified themselves with Moses and went through the Red Sea. Did they walk on dry land or was it wet land?
Dry.
This is the first baptism in your Bible, by the way. And it's dry. And who got wet when the water came down?
Egyptians.
That's a form of judgment, by the way. When God flooded the universe, he flooded, it was in chaos, and he flooded it judgment. He did it in Noah's days. Judgment. That's another study in itself. What did he say? "And did all eat the spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drink that of that spiritual," is that the big R or little R?
Big R.
"Rock that followed them, and that rock was
Christ.
That stone, that rock is Christ. But religion works the same way today as it did back then, and it wants you to take the authority of God's word away, and it wants you to think that in the reason within yourself, of all the reasons and all the ways, and faith just wants you to bow and say, yes, Lord. He's a stumbling stone, he's a rock here, Lord Jesus Christ. He's a rock. Next week we'll pick up in chapter 22, but the thing is, you know, I got one more verse and we're going to quit. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, what do we find out about when Paul writes? Who's he writing to there? He's writing to the saved Jews that was saved under his kingdom program. And he's writing to them and explaining to them, hey, God hasn't forgot about you. This is what he's doing. And when you get to Romans chapter 9, he says, who are Israelites? Verse 4. Then you get over here, verse 10, chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel to be is that they might be saved. And then he gets over here in chapter 11, and he says, verse 11, I say then, Romans 11, 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? He's talking to Israel there. God forbid, but rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles to provoke. The fall of salvation is to come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to the nation Israel stumbled at the cross, but they didn't fall. God gave them 1 year. Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7 is 1 year in your Bible, but they do fall. And in the book of Acts, as you read the book of Acts, it starts out up here with Israel, and he ends up here, salvation going to Gentile. It's a diminishing of the nation Israel down to the Gentiles, salvation. So they do stumble at the stumbling stone. Father, we do thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.